This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Today, we're going to have one of our youth pastors preach, Pastor Logan. And so I want us to real quick, can we just honor Pastor Logan? Just stand up real quick. All right, give him a clap. Welcome him to the stage. Come on up, come on up. Amazing.
Wow. Thank you. Awesome. Amazing. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be participating in National Youth Pastor Gets to Preach Sunday for the first time. For those of you who don't know, that's the classic. That's the classic way to go. Pastors are you know, recovering from the Christmas break. But as Harmon mentioned, my name's Logan, and I'm one of the youth pastors here. And I am so excited to be able to share with you this morning. And I hope that you'll be encouraged and inspired by what I have to share and what I have to bring. I actually just came this morning from an international student camp that I was a part of. I work with UCM, which is University Campus Ministries, which is one of our kingdom partners. And so I kind of split my time, half time here, half time there. And we have this amazing international student retreat where we have all of these international students who join us for a weekend. And just last night, I was able to share the Christmas story with all of these international students, many of whom have never heard the Christmas story before. And so this was such a blessing yesterday. And I want to encourage you guys. There was many who, you know, have been asking questions even since then and have been curious and wondering about what does this mean, right, for this Christmas story. And so we call it the classic Canadian Christmas. And so just came from there and heading back there after, which I'm so excited for. But we also saw so many of you who are a part of our friendship program. So I don't know if you guys remember, but way back in September, we had done this push for the friendship program, which is something that we do at University Campus Ministries, which connects international students with Canadian families. And I saw so many people come to this Christmas Eve service just a week ago, and it was so encouraging. You have no idea that, you know, as I looked around, I saw so many of you who had brought an international student, who had brought someone to a Christmas Eve service, and it was amazing because I was like, I know them, I hang out with them at different events that we do, but it was so cool to see you families walking with these international students and giving them a home away from home when they're, you know, far away from their families, to be able to show them a little bit of that hospitality, what it looks like to be with a family. And so thank you, everyone, for those of you who have joined in that friendship program. That's been a huge blessing. But it has been such an exciting year. And I know even for me, as in the youth ministry role here, it has been so encouraging to see so many students get so passionate about what the Lord is doing in their life. And if there's one thing that gets me excited in life is seeing a student like have that aha moment of like this is everything. Like, this is what matters. This is like my life. This is what I want to commit myself to. And so I have been loving that. And please come talk to Josh and I about some of the stories that have happened in our youth ministry this year. But one thing you should know about me is that I love a good moment of reflection. I love like a good word of the year. I love a good, like, you know, looking back, looking forward. Anybody like a word of the year person? Anyone? Anyone like is thinking about that right now? Now, I definitely know there are some people who think that's silly and overly sentimental and pointless, and like you're just kind of putting anything into like the thin air, just like, whatever, this word of the year. Anybody in that camp? Anybody like, what are you doing talking about a word of the year? How do you know what this year is going to be? I see some people pointing fingers. I love it. That's awesome. But I do want to encourage us at this time, you know, to look with fresh eyes. You know, what is it in your life right now that the Lord might be calling you into? What is it that this year might have for you? And this is a great time, as is any time, to look at your life, to take an inventory of it, to see where the Lord might be leading you. But this time is better time than any, right, to continue to do that work. And so why not do it right now, right? And so I want to encourage you to think about what that word is, or to think about what that direction of your life is in this year. And something that Pastor Jess shared in October during our mission series was that this year was a year to grow up and to live into maturity as a church. And when she said this word, I think it had been resonating a lot with some of the things that I had been experiencing and I had been living into. And so today, that is what I'm going to share about, what it looks like to grow up, to mature as Christians. Now, you might be looking at me thinking, what is this kid telling me how to mature, how to grow up, right? What is he doing? And maybe that's because I'm in it right now, right? I'm maturing, growing up, learning about what that looks like. And that's fair, totally fair. But I hope that you'd have open ears to still hear from me today about a little bit of what that might be for you. And when speaking about maturity, you know, that can mean at times we're in a place where we are immature and we need to grow in maturity. Or sometimes it may mean that you're already mature, but there's still a few areas of your life that you might need to grow in. And so I encourage you to be open to whatever that might be for you today. And I want to begin looking into the Word to maybe diagnose what this problem is. And one scripture that has been coming back again and again for me is Hebrews 5. And so we're going to read from Hebrews 5 today, starting in verse 11. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again." Oh my goodness, that's harsh, harsh start to this message, right? You no longer even try to understand. That is like, oh my gosh, if somebody told me that, if you were trying to figure out something and someone looked at you and said, "You're not even trying to understand," right? You would be so insulted. You'd be like, oh, I'm trying so hard, right? You no longer try to understand. You ought to be teachers by now, but you are still needing the elementary truths of God's word over again. It says, "You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." There's this brilliant demonstration from Francis Chan that Harmon put me onto when I was preparing this message. And it's basically, he reads a scripture verse and he pulls out a little baby bottle, right? And he starts sipping from the baby bottle while he's up on stage. He starts, you know, walking around and says, "Is this what you guys want? You know, is this what you guys want? Sipping from the baby bottle?" And I just think this is like this almost like offensive letter, right? Written to these people saying like, in your face, right? Like it's intense, right? This tone is intense. And you know, this scripture has been resonating me for a few reasons, but maybe it might be because, as some of you know, my wife is pregnant. And so that's, you know, some of you know that, some of you have seen it, started to see it already. That's crazy. Like, oh my goodness, people can just like look and see now. That's like wild. The fact that we're not telling people, and we've had a few people come up to us and be like, "You're pregnant." I'm like, "Yes, we are. It's true. Yeah, we are pregnant." It's very exciting, very exciting. And so I'm like, maybe it's because anything that mentions babies in the Bible, I'm just like locked in. I'm paying attention. I'm focusing. And now this might not be really like great parenting advice, but you know, if it's in the Bible, I'll take it. If it's mentioning babies, I'll be there. I'll think about it. But you know, when thinking about maturing, this is a big moment in life where I feel like that causes you to step up a little bit, causes you to mature. When you find that out, when you see the two lines on the strip, you're like, oh my gosh, am I ready for this, right? Am I actually prepared? Am I ready to like take this next step? Am I mature enough? Am I prepared to take this next step? And whether you are or not, it begins to happen, right? Your mindset begins to shift a little bit. You begin to think a little bit differently about this responsibility that's coming. And there is really a moment when you receive this news or when you have this responsibility on you that you begin to live into this maturity a little bit more. And I know I've experienced that, and I know for those who are parents in the room, you probably know a little bit of what I'm talking about. But this isn't just true for children. You know, this is the first time you get asked to make a meal on your own, right? You're like, oh man, I've eaten from my parents' table the whole time, like my whole life, and now they're gone, and I have to make a meal for my little sibling, or maybe I'm on my own, and I gotta like figure out the stove, or maybe it's just like craft dinner, and I gotta figure out how to boil water, and that like maturity, right, is like this moment of like, oh, okay, I have some responsibility on me, I have some growing up to do, I gotta live into this greater responsibility that I have. Or I know when the time when grade 12 students right now in the youth group are looking at university applications. You see a little shift in the way they conduct themselves, right? They're maybe studying a little bit harder. They're maybe a little bit more focused, and they're a little bit more locked in on their school, and they're a little bit more, you feel like they're a little bit more mature, right? When you see them having this life change or this thing that's coming. You know, or a few years ago when I loaded up a bus full of a bunch of kids to go on our first retreat. Any youth parents out there in the crowd know that day? I had a few of you come up to me and tell me, I don't know if you know what you're getting into, right? I was 3 months into being a youth pastor. I was pretty young a few years ago, and, you know, I guess I still am. Was loading up a bus of like 50 students and was heading out for a weekend with all the kids, right? And I had a few parents look at me and think, do you know what you're getting yourself into? And you know what? They're all here, right? They're all still around. I think they're better off for it, right? But this moment was crazy, right? I was like, oh my gosh. They looked at me when we were about to pull away and I don't know if you know what you're getting into. I'm like, do I know what I'm getting into? Oh my gosh, you might be right. I'm like, do I have everything in place? But this added responsibility and the maturity that comes with it has been exciting. And I truly believe that these are some of the best parts of life. And this next chapter of life, I know, has been so exciting to think about. And I know I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, these moments where we get to add something to the world are the moments where I experience the greatest measure of thriving in my life. Like I'm fully alive in what God has planned for me. Like this is truly his design for us. You know, this isn't a new thing. This is in the beginning when he created humanity. He actually gave them dominion over the world, not as an evil thing, not as a consequence of the fall, but actually before that. Before, you know, any sin had entered the world, he had given humanity responsibility to take care of the land, to cause things to grow from it. It says that, you know what, there was no trees because there was no one to work the land. And this is actually, you know, before the fall, right? God actually puts us on this earth to help us bring something good out of this earth. He desires to partner with us. He desires to come alongside us to be co-workers with him, to be co-creators with him, to be fruitful and to multiply. And that's in more ways than just in babies. To have power, to name animals and be creative, to use our God-likeness to participate alongside him and being creative and in naming things. There's a responsibility that God has given us to add something. And this was God's original design for us. This isn't something that has gone wrong. This is something that God desires for us. To bear this responsibility in maturity is what God has designed our thriving to be. And when we can enter into this blessing of being able to add, make something out of the nothing, of the dirt, we participate in the divine nature that our second Peter passage will talk about a bit today. And so my question then maybe comes to, how do we mature? How do we get there? How, if we feel like we are in a place where God is asking us to mature, in a place where God is asking us to grow up in our faith, how do we get to that point? And this is true for both our life and our faith. And I think in the best instances, these things actually can happen together. That as we mature in our, you know, in our regular world, in our regular life, we mature as well in our faith. And now there are a few scriptures for me that I really want to turn to today to talk about what it looks like for us to mature. How do we mature? And so James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, I just want to make a few observations on this idea at the end of the scripture about maturity and completeness. So maturity and completeness. The first thing that I notice from the scripture is that it is produced through perseverance. You know, perseverance, finishing its work, is what produces maturity, it talks about in the scripture. And this is a call to many of you who maybe have, in moments of great trial, in moments of, you know, of hardship that have come your way, have maybe, you know, not persevered, right? That there have maybe been moments where you said, ah, you know what? Things have gotten a little bit hard. I can see an easier way out. I think I'm going to take that easier way out, right? And that actually is depriving you of an opportunity to grow into maturity. I want to encourage you to persevere in your faith. When the trials come, when the hard things really, you know, are in front of you, those are the moments where we can experience something in our faith that is irreplaceable. There is truly, I really believe, no other way to gain what we can gain through persevering in trials and sufferings. This is a constant message in the Bible, that it is actually, you know, when we persevere through trial and suffering, it's actually a blessing to our souls and a blessing to our maturity of our faith, that we can actually grow and deepen our faith. So in these moments, it's an opportunity. And for others, I want to give you a word of encouragement that in maybe the very challenging trials and things you've faced in life, you are currently persevering, or you have persevered. And one thing I want to encourage you in is that this is not going to be a fruitless perseverance. This is going to produce in you a maturity and a depth to your faith that is, once again, unreplaceable through any other thing in life. Persevering through trial is really what makes a mature Christian. And this is true for so many new Christians, right? If you are a new Christian and you're like, just like on it, you're super on fire for everything that God is doing, you're ready to live for him and everything, and then the first trial comes your way and you turn away, right? That's not maturity. But what is maturity is when that new Christian is on fire and they're going for it and they get faced with opposition and they press through, they continue to follow God. That is a step into maturity, right? When maybe, like I've seen it in the youth group, where students have come to know Jesus for the first time from non-Christian families. And the moments where I see their maturity grow and deepen and blossom is maybe when their parents oppose their faith a little bit. When their parents say, why are you going to youth group on Fridays? Why are you going to church on Sundays? Are you really needing to spend that much time there? And when they stand up and say, no, I am. I am going to go to church. I am going to continue in that. That's really when I see this maturity grow in them and this maturity deepen in their faith. This is some of the most inspiring moments for me when I see a student choose to continue to follow Jesus even through trials. And this is what produces maturity. So be encouraged. Perseverance through trials produces maturity. The next thing I wanted to note is that either responsibility produces maturity, or taking responsibility is a sign of maturity. Now, like kind of in my stories that I said before, right, of maybe loading up a bus full of kids on a youth retreat or, you know, becoming a father, it might not necessarily mean that you are mature, but it helps you mature. It helps you get there, that's for sure, right? And whether it comes first, whether responsibility comes first or whether the maturity comes first, which leads to you actually taking up that responsibility, they do go hand in hand. And I think sometimes God even gives us these opportunities before we feel like we are ready. He calls on us to depend fully on Jesus in these moments where we feel like we can't do it. And this has the power to grow us up in God when we experience this responsibility, this weight, before maybe we feel like we're ready, that it actually causes us to grow into the power that God is actually really calling us to live into, to grow into this maturity. And this is, you know, something that I feel like is so important for us to understand, that God gives us this command at the beginning of creation, that he gives us responsibility. He looks to his children and says, tend to the ground, cause things to grow from it, be fruitful and multiply. And we can choose to avoid or run away from this, or we can choose to lift it up and to take it on ourselves. But oftentimes, as maybe parents, you know, running away from responsibility is a sign of immaturity. Running away from the things that God has asked you to do is a sign of, you know, not being fully grown up, to not feel like you can take that yet. And Jesus gives us a new command as well in his parting hours. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so we have these responsibilities that have been given to us from God. He has given us the responsibility to work the land, to be fruitful and multiply, to go and share the gospel, to bring the good news to this world, to help spread the light of Jesus to those who are living in darkness. And I really want to encourage us today to think about what that looks like in your life right now. Where is God calling you to take up this responsibility? Where is he calling you to say, yes, I'm going to live into this. I'm going to stop running away from the things that, you know, I have been scared of because it's seemed a little bit too much work. Like, it seems like it's not going to really benefit me that much, right? But God has given us these commands. He's given us these things to do. And when we get to do them, we experience the flourishing. So is it working diligently at your work to produce something good and valuable to add to this world? We often in churches maybe accidentally give you a picture that the only place to live out your faith is in the church building. But that is such a small component of your life. And God wants every part of your life. It's a blessing to me to see that God's call to work and to be creative with systems or strategies and management, or to be hardworking and to be diligent, or to make things more efficient as an engineer, or to bring healing through nursing, right, are all things that are central to the call of God on our lives. These are things not removed from, you know, God's call to us, but are actually central, important parts of his commands to us. And so, you know, if you are working in your places of work, whether it's business, whether it's engineering, whether it's nursing, whether it's teaching, you have actually a part to play in God's kingdom coming in doing your work well. This is a good thing that God has tasked us with and is central to so much of your work. As I was thinking about this message, I was like a little bit just hoping that people would feel better about going back to work, that there would actually be a sense of like, you know what? Maybe my work actually is significant. Maybe my work can actually bring something of value to this world. Also, in the midst of these workplaces, you have access to so many people who you are called to love and make disciples of, that you are called to share the gospel with, to actually take up this responsibility to say, you know what, I want these people to hear the gospel through my words. Not just saying that, oh, that's going to be somebody else's responsibility, or oh, that's going to be my pastor's responsibility if I just bring them to church on a Sunday. It's actually saying, you know what, I am going to live this out in my life, and yes, I'm going to invite them to events, I'm going to invite them to church, but I'm also going to be a walking, living gospel presentation to them, and to be willing to share the gospel, to be willing to actually be the person who shares those things, to be bold enough to maybe share, hey, this is how God has changed my life. This is how God has impacted me. And you may think that this is someone else's responsibility, but the reality is that it's all of ours. What if it's yours to take on? Or the responsibility to maybe do both to all nations, taking the call of God to go and use your work to serve the most vulnerable, or to share the gospel where people might not have access to hear it. To not allow this responsibility to be shrugged off by you and given to someone else, but to be taken up by your whole self and bring goodness through your work and through the gospel that you bring. There's so many people all across the world who have never had access to hearing the gospel, and this might be you. Bringing light to the world and causing goodness to rise up is the responsibility that God has given us. And where, my question to you today is, where maybe has this responsibility been dropped in your life? Where has God asked you to do these things, asked you to live into it, and maybe you haven't lived into it? Where are you running from it? And how can you take that responsibility on yourself now in order to grow into this maturity of faith? I really believe that when we do this, this is another way that we can grow in maturity in our faith. Every time a student steps up to lead a group in their school, which we do have, you know, a few running alpha groups or different prayer groups and faith groups on high school campuses and junior high campuses in our city. Every time a student says, you know what, Logan, I want to do that. I'm going to step up. You know, where's, can I get a pizza budget, right? Can I, you know, share the gospel with my friends? You know, this is such an amazing moment where we can actually see the maturity of these students really rise and grow because their responsibility is being taken on. And this responsibility can look different. But it is important that we have something in our life, something that we're taking responsibility over to be the one who shares the gospel with that person, to be the one who brings goodness into this world. So the next point that I was noticing is, from the scripture that we read, is that completeness is similar to the idea of shalom. No breaks or holes, not lacking anything. Now this idea of completeness, James uses a second word beside maturity, which is completeness. And the word shalom, which is the picture of something being complete, not lacking anything, also oftentimes described as peace. But as we went through the Bible Project this year, some of the videos that we watched in our Bible reading as a church, this was one of the videos that explained this word shalom as this idea of completeness, this idea of something being whole, not lacking anything. And just a little bit of a shout out, keep your eyes open for our Bible reading plans that are coming in the next week, probably. Probably next Sunday we'll be talking about them. We're going to be having lots of different Bible reading plans for different levels of engagement and commitment this year. So not just one plan, but you guys can join in lots of different ways or with different levels of commitment this year for our Bible reading plan. And that's honestly a huge step into maturity as well, is just deciding to read the Bible, to be regular, to be consistent, right? To be persevering in these things. And I'm saying this, though, to show that when we live into maturity, we find that there is actually less lack in our lives. When we take on these things, when we say, God, I'm actually going to be joining into this meaning that you have for me. I'm going to be joining into this purpose that you have given me, this great plan that you have had set out for me. When we join into that, we experience a completeness in ourselves. We actually experience a flourishing and a greater contentment when we experience God's call in our life and when we live into that. It actually produces a completeness alongside this maturity that our life can feel like it is more whole. And this is his design for us. Once again, maturity and completeness are a part of God's plan for us. We should trust that he has good plans for our lives, and the way that he has laid things out is actually for our benefit. Even if it seems hard or not that appealing to us at the start, because it seems like it's more work or like it's going to be harder for our lives or it's going to make our lives worse, it's actually living into our perfect operating design. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 also gives some practical elements on how to grow in maturity. It reads, starting at verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Now you may have this faith, and it might be fresh and new, and we celebrate this is the best decision you can ever make. You believe in Jesus, and we are so excited for this. For many of you have recently received Jesus, maybe even in the past months. And there are also probably many of you as well who have lived a long time thinking faith in Jesus is where we get to end, right? We got faith in Jesus. Sweet. That's all it is. That's all we need. We're good to go. Got my get out a hell free card, and we're on the road, right? Here we go. But it says to add to your faith all these things, right? So if you're a new Christian in this place, you have faith, and we celebrate that, and that's exciting. And there are things that you can make every effort to add. And this is not a striving, this is not a works-based faith. This is not saying that you need to work really hard in order to earn your salvation. It's just saying that once you receive faith, once you receive salvation through faith alone, you get the opportunity to make every effort to add to your faith these things so that you can grow in this maturity and this completeness, that you can experience the shalom, the wholeness of God that he has for you in your life. There's actually goodness in his plans. There's goodness in following the things that he's laid out for us. So make every effort. What does it look like to make every effort to add to our faith these things? So I want to walk us through this list and give us a few ideas to think about for each of them after you have faith. So if you have faith recently, if you've been living with just faith for a long time and have thought that there's nothing else, there's more. So make every effort to add to our faith goodness. Where in your life can you add goodness? Maybe it's in what you watch or what you surround yourself with. Maybe even if it's in your food and living healthy lives or in good relationships. How can you add to your life goodness? What does it look like right now to find the things that are not good and to add to your life goodness in replace of those things? What does it look like to say, okay, I have goodness, and to add knowledge? I think many of us are at this stage. We love God, we have faith in Jesus, we've been growing in goodness, but how can we add knowledge? Maybe it's reading the Word or other books about the Bible, adding knowledge to our lives, growing in understanding about the Word of God, growing in understanding about the character and the nature of who God is, growing in knowledge maybe through conversations that you might have with friends who maybe are a little bit wiser than you or who might have a different perspective. What does it look like to get around those people, to add knowledge to your life about your faith? What does it look like to add knowledge, self-control to knowledge? Are there things in your life that you know lead you away from God? What would it look like to get serious about adding self-control? Is there people in your life who you need to get alongside you to help you add this self-control, to be really practical about getting boundaries in self-control for you? If you think that, you know, there's things that lead you away from God that you know time and time again are the thing that threatens your faith with God, what does it look like to get serious about self-control, to be setting up things way in advance so that you can actually live in the freedom that God has given you, not bound by anything? What does it look like to add to self-control? Perseverance. There's this word again, this word perseverance. I really love that it keeps coming up even in both these different scriptures. It was helpful for me even as I was preparing this message to think about perseverance again and again. This year, when you set your New Year's goals or things you know will be good for you, I encourage you into perseverance. Not just to do the good things once or twice, but to be persevering and consistent in this. This is how true transformation really takes place. When we can be consistent in a good thing over a long period of time, this is what transforms and really changes our posture in our faith. When we can persevere, even when things are challenging, when we can persevere, even when, you know, the middle of January comes and the bills are there and everything is piling up and you're stressed about all the things and the New Year's resolutions feel like the last thing that matters, right? The you know, listening to God and following in the things that you've committed to is going to be hard. What does it look like to be persevering in those things, to be consistent? What about adding godliness? Godliness means seeking first God's kingdom and the things he desires in this world. Rather than seeking our own pursuits, but to have his plans in our mind. You know, rather than chasing after things like money or chasing after our own pleasure or chasing after things that are man's kind of good plans, thinking about what it looks like to be adding godliness to your life, to be thinking about God's best for you, to be seeking first his kingdom. To add to godliness, mutual affection. To encourage those around you, to see the faith of your friends and to seek to encourage them in their faith. To take care of the poor and to tend to their wounds. To give of yourself for the sake of others. To spur those on that are around you. To pray for them. To take care of their needs. To lift them up. What does it look like to love? To add to mutual affection love. To love your enemies. To decide to show them goodness when they show you harm. This is maybe one of the hardest ones to add, because it can be so counterintuitive to everything that our world says, right? To, you know, to oppose those who are your enemies, to not give too much away, right? To not give too much away from yourself, because that wouldn't be fair, that wouldn't be equal, right? But what does it look like to add love, a radical servant love for those around us that really completes our faith? This love is the thing that does complete our faith. What does it look like to add to your faith love? A love that goes above and beyond, a love that serves others, a love that considers the other person more important than yourself. And all of these things, right, we do so that we may participate in the divine nature that God has set out for us. It said that in, you know, the Second Peter scripture that we read. It said maybe we do this so that we may escape the corruption of the world as well. It says that we participate in the divine nature and we escape the corruption of the world when we begin to add these things to our life. The corruption of the world has maybe began to corrode your soul, to take down your soul, to get inside into the places where you don't want it to be, and to actually really just begin to make that sick and unhealthy in our hearts. What does it look like to do all these things so that we can be kept from being ineffective and unproductive? That's what it said there at the last of the Second Peter passage. Being kept from being ineffective and unproductive. I want to come back to this idea again that God has given us a job in this world to add to this world, to bring goodness, to work alongside him, to actually cause goodness to come from the earth, to cause good things to come from our work as we, you know, go through all of your different areas of work that I know you are all involved in, to be kept from being ineffective and unproductive. God has given you responsibility that will cause you to grow and mature and actually rise up into the man and woman that God has created you to be. But we need to take on this responsibility to experience this maturity, to grow into this plan that he has for us. And if there's one thing that I know about these steps, is that they are incredibly challenging. That this making every effort can be exhausting. And we can find ourselves often failing again and again. And it comes back to the reality of our Christian life, which is that for all things, we need Jesus. We are in desperate need of Jesus to grow us in all these things and cannot do it on our own. Now, I've talked a lot today about how there's efforts, making every effort. And that is the language of the scriptures, right? So we can't deny that God does encourage us to make every effort. But also, in the same time, to know that Jesus is the one who will finish this work in us. He is the one that when we rely on him, when we put our trust in him, he is the one who is going to be actually finishing this work in us, who will be causing this to come to its good end, right? That in the moments where we mess up, in the moments where we fail, he is the one who is filling that gap. He is the one who is making a way for us to truly experience this blessing that God has for us. And so today, what does it look like for you both to add, make every effort to add to your faith, to bear up this responsibility that God has given all of us, and also to lean on Jesus to help you do all of these things? To lean into him, to say that, you know what, God, I know I'm going to fail at adding self-control. I know I'm going to fail at adding godliness. I know I'm going to fail these things, but Jesus, would you be the one who helps me to continue to make every effort in those moments where it's hard? And we don't do it alone. We do it alongside him. We work with him in making every effort. He helps us in the moments where it's challenging, and he helps us even begin to do it. This is obviously the central message of our faith, that we need Jesus, that we need Jesus to do it all. But alongside him, we have the ability to work with him. We have the ability to put our efforts in. We have the ability to take steps in our life to continue walking in maturity with God, right? Like a good father, right, allows their child to come alongside them as they try and, you know, fix the car or change the tire or to mow the lawn, even if it's going to take them a little bit longer with that child alongside them, right? And it's because they desire their child to grow into maturity. God wants you to grow into maturity in your faith. And part of that is saying yes to the things that he's given you to do. And so today I want to ask just a few questions But I would encourage you guys just to close your eyes and bow your heads to be focused on these asks that I'm about to give you. As I share them, I would invite you to think about what it looks like to respond to one of these things that I'm going to give you. Also, I'd like to invite the prayer team to come forward as we're going to invite people to pray after this. And so today, you might be in the place of not even having faith yet. But this picture of a life of responsibility given by God is the meaning that you have been searching for. You might be sick and tired of chasing after your own pursuits and finding you are left empty even when you accomplish them. Maybe this picture of God calling you into something bigger than yourself is what you have been craving all along. You've been desiring meaning. You've been desiring something that is bigger than yourself. And maybe today you feel like this is that. And you know that you need help to add these things to your life. Maybe you've been trying to add goodness. Maybe you've been trying to add these things to your life and it's been challenging. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that right here and now. If that is you, if you want to receive Jesus into your life right now in this moment, I'm going to, in a little bit, ask you to raise your hand. Now, we raise hands as a way to physically engage our body in a mental decision we are making. So if that is you today, wanting to receive Jesus for the first time, to say yes to even the call that he's given you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Amazing, thank you. Now, if you feel like this was you today, please tell someone. Come to the front and let someone know so that they can pray with you. Or maybe it was the person that brought you to church. Let them know and have them pray with you. Encourage them to help you walk these next steps out in your life. These next steps of salvation. These next steps of having faith and adding these things to your life. To grow in maturity in your faith. To walk with people and being able to do this in a good way. Now, the second group that I asked to have raise their hand is if you feel like this challenge to maturity in your faith was for you. If you feel like you have been living in immaturity for far too long and desire to accept the responsibility that God has already asked for you, that you are desiring to maybe persevere through every season, and to make every effort to continue adding to your faith so that you do not stay immature, but begin to grow. That you could participate in the divine nature of creating and adding goodness to the world, being free from corruption and no longer being ineffective and unproductive. If that is you in this moment, I ask you to just to raise your hand right now, just right away. Thank you. Now, for these people, I also ask that you would have resolve in your heart to join with someone in prayer, whether it's someone at the front or with a friend alongside you. I'd encourage you to get serious about taking these next steps in your faith, to be committed to maturity, to be committed to taking on the things that God has for you, to adding to your faith. To growing in maturity, to growing in the goodness that God has for us so that we can experience the full life that God has designed for each of us. So I invite you to stand as we sing one last song of worship. Come forward for prayer right now if you're needing prayer for anything in your life or for anything that I've mentioned today. And we'll sing one last song and Harmon will come close us out after. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.